The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And thank you, ladies, for doing that. Take your Bible and go back to Job, if you will. 42, look at verse 10. Job 42 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." There was a lady years ago that owned a parakeet, and his name was Chippy. And Chippy was in a cage. And as Chippy was in the cage, one day the owner, the lady, decided, "I'm going to clean out the cage." So she got the vacuum cleaner, and don't get ahead of me. She got the vacuum cleaner, and she put the vacuum cleaner hose into Chippy's cage while Chippy was up there just singing and just whistling and having a good time. And she's going to vacuum out all the seed and vacuum out all the debris. And Chippy got nosy. So Chippy flew down to where the hose was, and Chippy got sucked up in the vacuum cleaner hose. Oh, she panicked. She didn't know what to do. So she opened up the vacuum cleaner, and there's poor Chippy. Chippy's inside the vacuum cleaner. Chippy's still alive. And so Chippy's not chipper anymore, but Chippy's still alive. And so she took Chippy out, and she put Chippy in the bathtub, ran the faucet water, ice cold water. Then she thought, oh no, she said Chippy may freeze. So she went in and she got her hair dryer, and she held Chippy out, blasted him with air, you know, trying to get all of the coldness away and trying to get all of the dirt off of him. And then she decided to put Chippy back. But from then on in, Chippy didn't sing anymore. Chippy, of course, had been blown. Chippy had been sucked up and blown, and Chippy had been spit out. Chippy had gone through the tragedy of having cold water. I mean, Chippy was just an emotional, messed up chip, and was just all messed up. And just because of the fact, went through some horrendous, horrendous times. Now, let me say this. I want to speak to you this morning on the results of life's trials. You know, for some people, when they go to the dentist, it's a major, major event. For other people, when they have a car wreck, it's a major event. For some people, when they fall out of the car after it's parked and sitting still, it's a major, major event. When some people have things that happen in their lives, it's major, major events. But now, what is it that you and I could do? And I'm thinking now about a major event that took place here in Dallas with the police officers being killed. I'm thinking about, of course, other major events that's been catastrophic all across our nation. And what is it that we can do when major events happen in our lives? Now, can I tell you, for some people, something is a major event, and on a lower scale than what took place in downtown Dallas. But in other people's lives, those same major events, whether it's a trip to the dentist or whether it's a flat tire or whether it's something a little bit less dramatic that's taking place in your life and maybe surgery or whatever the case may be. But how is it that you're supposed to respond to trials in your life? No better place to turn than the book of Job. Look at Job chapter 2, if you will, in verse 9. The Bible talks about here Job is, and Job, of course, statement number one, has trials that will challenge his faith. And by the way, you're going to have trials, and those trials will challenge your faith. Job chapter 2 and in verse 9, the Bible says, "And then said his wife to him," it says, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." So here Job is, and he's having the trial of his faith. Now, here's his wife, and I thought, boy, that woman's got attitude. I mean, why is it that a woman would tell her husband, who she's supposed to love so dearly, to curse God and die? But I want you to rest upon that for just a little bit. You think about this dear woman and imagine the loss that she felt from losing her 10 children. Imagine the loss that she had felt from losing all of her possessions. Imagine the loss that she had felt by having the greatest man, if you will please, a man of integrity and a man of great wealth, according to chapter 1 of Job and in verse 3, a husband that was known the greatest among greatest in the East, and that was her husband. Now her husband is sitting in a garbage dump. Now her husband is scraping his sores that's been come upon him because of a tragic disease with a broken pottery. Can you imagine how upset a woman might be that goes through such a tragic time in her life? Now, trials would challenge your faith. Trials would challenge your faith. And by the way, when trials challenge your faith, sometimes you'll say things that you didn't think you would ever say. And sometimes when trials challenge your faith, you will do things that sometimes you thought that you would never do in your life because of the trials that challenge your faith. Job's faith was attacked, and it was the very first thing that was attacked was his faith. Listen to the devil as the devil would whisper in your ear that God doesn't know what he's doing. Or listen to the devil, if you will, as the devil would whisper in your ear that God doesn't care or God doesn't understand. Now, can I tell you, God always cares and God always understands. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Now, why? It says, for he careth for you. You have a caring God. There's never one time when God's phone line is busy. There's never one time when God all of a sudden is too busy for you. He cares about everything in your life. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. It does not matter how minute it may seem. It does not matter how significant it is or how dramatic it is. I'm saying that you have a caring God. But well, the devil would come along and the devil would try to get you to doubt your faith. Remember, if you will, how Jesus cared for the disciples in the time of the storm there on the Sea of Galilee. You remember how Jesus, if you would, helped those that were in great despair and yes, those that were despondent simply because he's a caring God. We have a caring Christ. Don't let the devil defeat you when trials come in your life. And don't let the devil think, if you will, that he's got the victory because he's got you convinced that you're standing there all by yourself. Hey, don't forget the scriptures where the Bible says that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't forget the scriptures where the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't forget the scriptures where it says my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, can I tell you, we've got a sufficient God and our sufficient God can help you with every problem that you've got in your life, and don't let the trials overtake you. Statement number one, sometimes the trials will challenge your faith. Statement number two, we understand this, that trials will change your face. You know, I've seen people that have facial changes. I'm not talking about facelifts. I was preaching in Jacksonville, Florida, and we was out eating one day. And it's back in the days when I used to drink Diet Coke. And I was out eating with the pastor and his wife. And I started, she said, oh, pastor, you don't want to drink that. You don't want to drink that. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. And I said, oh. And she said, it could cause you to have an aneurysm. Don't drink that. And I said, oh. And she said, oh, no, it could. And I said, oh. And I said, no, it'll be okay. And she said, well, it wasn't okay with me. And she showed me the scar where she had an aneurysm. Oh, I felt so bad. I mean, here I was making fun of it, and I felt so bad because she had this major scar where she had an aneurysm, and they traced it back to that source right there in her life, and man, I felt so bad. Of course, then the pastor said, oh, don't worry about it, Brother Wells. She got a free facelift to go with it. Now, by the way, listen, you can look at things the way you want to look at things. You can. You can go outside, and you can have a flat tire today, and you can start kicking that tire like it's really going to help. You can go outside and you could have a motor that's overheated and you can curse your car like that really is going to help. You can go outside today and somebody parked in your parking spot and you could get all mad about that because it was 3 inches further from the curb than what you're used to. And you can have a fit about that if you want to. But can I tell you, listen to me, those trials, if you're not careful, can change your face. Have you ever seen somebody that's gone through a trial and they look different? They look beaten down. They look like they lost the joy of the Lord. They look like they've been smitten by the friends of Job. I'm saying this over in Job chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says, and they lifted up their eyes, it says, afar off, and they knew him not. And they lifted up their voice and they wept. And they rent, it says, everyone his mantle. And the Bible says, and speckled dust, it says, upon the heads toward the heaven, or toward heaven. So here they are. They have an opinion. Now, why do they have an opinion? Well, it might be because when they saw Job, that Job's facial expressions had changed. Can I tell you that sometimes when you go through trials, it will steal your joy. It will steal your smile. Sometimes trials will cause you to worry, and sometimes trials will cause you to be downcast. But can I tell you also that through these trials, you can do things to overcome. Let me give you a couple of statements. Learn to refrain from worry. When the trials come, learn to refrain from worry. You say, well, how in the world can I do that? Well, the Bible talks about casting your care upon the Lord. You know that he is better than you are in carrying your burdens? Did you know that he can help you more than you can help yourself? Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, it says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, that's plural, let your request be made known unto God. He cares about every request that you have. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So he said that he'll be able to keep your hearts. He'll be able to keep your mind. How is he able to keep your heart? And how is he able to keep your mind? He's able to keep your heart and he's able to keep your mind only if your mind is stayed on him. Right. You start letting your mind be stayed on these other things to the point that it consumes you, you'll lose your peace. You start focusing on the problems more than you start focusing on the one that can give you the solution, who is Jesus Christ. He's going to change your face. You're going to wind up walking around having poochy lip disease. Your bottom lip is going to be sagging out down between your two big toes, and you'll be tripping all over the place. Simply because of the fact that now you're looking at things that you're not supposed to look at. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And by the way, you and I ought to be a person and people that people just don't understand. How can you go through something so dramatic? How can you go through something that is so wrong and so different and still have the peace of God and still have the joy of God? Now, by the way, watch me. When you go through troubled times, it is easy to get down and get discouraged. But it's hard to explain when you go through troubled times and you still smile. See, it's normal to get down. It's normal to get discouraged. But how is it that you can keep a smile on your face? It all depends on who you're focusing on.
Amen.
Okay, stand up if you will. Let's say that Brother Craig is my problem. He is my problem. Now, stand up if you would hold your Bible. If I'm focusing on him, he is my problem. I got a problem. Its name is Kevin Craig. He is my problem. But I have a God that helps me. I have a God, if you will, please, that shows me from the Word of God what I can do to be able to focus on him. Now, I cannot focus on him. Stay with me now. I cannot focus on him and him at the same time. If I'm focusing on him, it's going to show up. It's going to show up. It's going to show up in my faith. It's going to show up in my face. It's going to show up in how I love church. Come on. You know, some people come to church and you can tell that they've had a bad day because of the way they look. They come to church like God is dead. They come walking in. Are you happy to be here? Yes. Do you think God is real? Uh-huh. Come on. Now, why? It might be because they're focusing on the wrong things. I'm saying, hey, when you go through a trial, focus on God. Let God help you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God, and He says He changeth not. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. We see that trials can challenge your faith. Trials can change your face. What do you do? Stimulus number one, learn to refrain from worry. Stimulus number two, learn to rest in His yoke. Learn to rest in His yoke. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, the Bible says, come on to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What is your soul? Your soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. How is it that you and your mind are disturbed, you and your emotions are disturbed, and you and your will are disturbed? How is it that you can find rest when you as an individual are disturbed? You yoke up with the one that helps you to be able to bear your disturbance. When you go through trials, when you, look, you're not in this by yourself. And the day that you decide that you're going to try and handle it by yourself is the day that you have decided to become a miserable failure. Learn to refrain from worry. How is it that I can face my biggest challenges? I learn to be able to rest in His yoke. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How is it that I can be able to overcome some dramatic things in my life? I learn to rely on the Lord's plan. Curtis Hudson had cancer the latter years of his life. And when Dr. Hudson had cancer, can I tell you that when that cancer was revealed, I think it made him a better Christian. I think he learned to rely on God more. Because he realized that only God had control. It's when we're in our deepest night, it is when we're in the bottom of the barrel that God reveals Himself more and we're able to rely on Him more because of who He is, and we have to trust Him. Over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, and we shall know that, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to, listen to it now, His purpose. He has a purpose. Amen. And by the way, His purpose is not for you to walk around looking like the world has just stomped on you. That's not His purpose. Right. His purpose is not for you to walk around being defeated all the days of your life. That is not His purpose. Amen. Wait, how is it that I can overcome having a challenged faith and a changed face? I can refrain from worry. I can rest in His yoke. I can rely on the Lord's plans. I can remember His promises. God's got some precious promises just for you. Just for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, for our light affliction. Now, this is Paul. Paul has gone through some traumatic things in his life. Paul has been whipped. Paul has been left half dead by his own countrymen. Paul was forsaken. Paul was cast into prison. Paul had been beaten. Paul suffered hunger. He was left on three separate occasions, a night and a day, in the deep and almost drowned. He had people that turned their backs on him. And here's what he says. After all this has taken place in Paul's life, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For, he says, listen to it, over in Romans chapter 8, as he says this in verse 18, for I reckon, it says, that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen to what he says to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what do I realize? I realize that if I just remember the promises, if I just remember the promises, George Patton told those that was over there, or no, it was Douglas MacArthur that told those that was over in the Philippines. He said, I'm leaving, but I shall return. And they took great hope knowing that he was coming back and he was just a mere man. Well, can I tell you, our Lord God said, I shall return.
Yeah.
You ought to take great hope in knowing that you serve a God. And I'm not talking about just a God. I'm talking about the Creator God, the one that has never broken a promise, the one that has always kept His word. He is greater than all that you face in your life. And remember the promises that He's given you, and you can take great hope in those promises. What do? You learn to regularly pray about your trial. Regularly pray. About 20 years ago, I became allergic to sugar. White, granulated sugar. Why couldn't I be allergic to hot sauce? Why couldn't I be allergic to pepper? But that white, refined sugar. Now, I can have sugar substitutes, but I can't have that white refined sugar. If I take it in larger doses, or what would be called an average dose for the common person, boy, my fingers swell up. I get all of a sudden, it looks like I have fish hands or whatever, but they swell shut. My throat swells up. My eyes get all puffy. My brain goes in neutral. And my throat, I mean, it's just terrible. I got to go to the hospital. All right, now wait a minute. So I stay away from that as much as I possibly can, not to take a large amount of that in, because if I do, I'm asking for trouble, and I know it. I know it. Now, wait a minute. Let me help you a little bit. And so if you're having trials, or you're having a trial, you're having a difficulty with this, that is this right here, then wouldn't it be good to refocus on something else? And the Bible says you're supposed to do that, and that something else is the someone else who is Jesus Christ.
Right.
As we demonstrated and illustrated just a few minutes ago. So what do? I regularly take that trial to God in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, continue in prayer. It says, and watch. It says, in the same. It says, with thanksgiving. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18, the Bible says also, I'm supposed to rejoice in my trial. What do you do? Thank God for it. God, I got a broken arm. Thank you for that. Thank you for my broken arm. God, I tell you what, I got a hip that I'm just having trouble getting up, but every time I get up and my hip hurts, I'm reminded how good you are, because I could be dead. So I thank you for my hip. It's out of place. Boy, God, I thank you so much. Mother-in-law is coming for the 18th time this year. Thank you for mom-in-law. Boy, God, I thank you for the Texas heat. Thank you for that. God, I thank you for the high humidity. Thank you for that. God, I thank you. I came to church and I was in the restroom and somebody turned the lights out. I'm getting down to where you live now, right? Thank you for that. God, I came in. I always sit in that seat. I mean, I've got my markings in that seat. It's got the curvature of my body right there. Everybody knows it's my body. But somebody sat in that seat. Can't you thank God for that? What about sitting beside that person this morning and they tried to sing, but you knew it wasn't working? Can't you thank God for that? Well, I came to church, and boy, I tell you, I wish that somebody would shake my hand, just not that one, and they did. Can't you thank God for that? See, instead of complaining about stuff, why don't we become thankful?
Amen.
Thankful. You know, I never knew what I was going to look like as a cartoon character. Or what is this called?
Caricature.
A what?
Caricature.
A caricature. I never knew I was going to look like what is a caricature. But you can be thankful about stuff. Come on. I'm saying this. I'm saying rejoice in the midst of your trials. The Bible says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. Everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So I'm supposed to thank God for all things. I'm saying there's trials that would challenge your faith. Trials that would change your face. Trials that will reveal you. Listen to me. That will reveal your true character. You know what trials do? When you squeeze a person, either sweetness comes out or sourness comes out. What happens when you get squeezed? When I was in college, I had an English professor, and I don't know of too many people that like English professors. But when I was in college, I had an English professor, and can I tell you, he squeezed me. He squeezed me. When I was in college, I had a Greek teacher and I had a Hebrew teacher. And can I tell you, the one that taught me Greek, the one that taught me Hebrew, can I tell you, squeezed me. Squeezed me. Can I tell you, all the years I've been in the ministry, over 32 years now, can I tell you, I've been around people that have squeezed me. Now, I'm going to tell you what, when you get in tight situations and you get squeezed, the real you shows up. The real you comes out. When that real you comes out, can I ask you something? What is that? That's your character or lack thereof. Listen to this, and I'll give you one more statement to close it out. But think about this. All of a sudden now, Job had some friends that showed up. Eliphaz, when Eliphaz showed up, Eliphaz began to flatter Job. You'll see it in Job 4, verses 3 through 4, as he tells him, wow, you're doing a good job, and he's buttering him up and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, he turns, and he begins to call him a hypocrite in Job chapter 4, verses 5 through 11, and he calls his faith weak, and he calls him even a wicked man in that chapter. Then he begins to floor Job over and over, saying that you're self-righteous and saying you're not accepting God for what God has for you, and you don't deserve this, and you've got a bad attitude. And he even goes so far to call Job a whining dog. Now, wait a minute. That's a friend. Job had another friend that showed up. His name was Bildad. And Bildad over in Job chapter 8 and verse 2 begins to attack him. And he attacks his very appearance. And then he calls Job a old windbag. Then he had another friend that showed up. His name was Zophar, and Zophar shows up, and he goes over to Job. And by the way, Zophar was very slow in his analysis, but he finally came out and said, Job, your problem is you just need to repent. I mean, all these people, he's going through all these problems and saying, well, you got to get right with God, and you need to repent, and you're just an old windbag, and boy, I tell you what, you're a hypocrite. Hey, can I tell you, when all of a sudden you get down, and you have people that come, and all they do is kick you, and kick you, and kick you, and kick, and you're trying to get up, and they just keep kicking you, and kicking you. It's hard to get up, but can I tell you, in all these things, Job decided, I am not going to distrust God. I'm not going to slap God. I'm going to take and trust him. He's the same God that brought me into this world. He's the same God that would take me out of this world, and God is good. Amen. So can I say that trials will challenge your faith? Trials will change your face. Trials will reveal your character to your friends. Watch this, and I'm done. And trials will confirm your foundation. See, no matter what you go through, you should still be the same. You should still be trusting God. Listen to it. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, and Job arose and he rent his mantle and he shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Job chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, Job speaking, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked will I return thither. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Job chapter 42 and verse 10, the Bible says, and the Lord turned, it says, the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Say, well, preacher, what do you do when somebody just comes and they just all the time just negative, negative, negative? You pray. And by the way, here's what it'd do, it'd change your heart towards them. The Bible says, and the Lord says, turn the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job, this is after he prayed for his friends. Amen. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much as he had before. Job chapter 42 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the Lord blessed, it says, and the latter end. And Job, it says, more than his beginning, and 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. Verse 13, and he also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and all the land, it says, there was no women found as fair as the daughters of Job. Verse 16 of chapter 42, the Bible says, and it says that he lived 140 years after he saw his sons and his daughters, even to the fourth generations. The Bible says in verse 17 of that chapter, and Job died being old and full of age. So, man, he was complete. It was like, wow, this is great. God has done this. I'm full. I'm complete. This is after he went through all the trials. Lost his health, lost his finances, lost his family, lost his relationship with his spouse. Then God came back, and God blessed him more greatly in the end than he did at the beginning. Why? Because Job did not charge God foolishly. Foolishly. Okay, here we go. You ready? Stand up. Get on my nerves. However you do that. Just get on my nerves. Just do it. Get on my nerves. Stand up. Now, by the way, he can keep this up, and it's going to get to me after a while. What was that? Come on over. And normally it's this tight. Go ahead. And you get irritations in your life, and here's what you want to do. You want to take it over.
Yes.
Rather than letting God help you. Come on.
Right.
You know, when you allow these irritations to, come on. Right. Now watch. Here's the way you are. Some of you have circumstances. Go ahead. All the time, circumstances. All the time. And they just follow you around everywhere you go. Just circumstances. Just some of you have people like that in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and you start getting tense. And then you do, listen to what I said a moment ago, you say things you shouldn't say. Remember Job's wife? She said things she shouldn't have said. Why? Every time she saw her husband, he irritated her. Every time she saw him, it was an irritation. Reminded him over and over, or reminded, if you will, please, her over and over again, he was a great guy. Now look at him. He had great possessions. Now look at him. He had great ability. Now look at him. It's probably because of him and us serving God that I lost my children. Probably because of him and us serving God, lost all of our cattle. We went from being high on the hog to over there eating the husk of the pigs. Just irritate. By the way, you have people in church like that with you? You come to church, you can't wait to get here, then all of a sudden you see her. You can't wait to get here, and all of a sudden you see him. All of a sudden you hear him. I mean, yeah. Just irritate, irritate, irritate. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean this is going to go away, but I can get strength here. So much strength that this doesn't even bother me no more. Because I'm focused. You ever go to a restaurant, they're playing music? Bothers you when you walk in, but then you meet up with somebody that you like, somebody you're counseling, whatever the case may be. You get involved in conversation, you're talking, getting interested in the conversation, and all of a sudden the music doesn't bother you much anymore because you're not focused on it. Hello? Thank you. Be seated. I'm saying this. I'm saying there's a way for you to be able to make it through your trials. What are you going to do with the trials when they come? Don't let them destroy you. Father, bless, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.